Herzlich willkommen bei Familienunternehmen im Wandel.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur neuen Folge von Familienunternehmen im Wandel, dem Podcast für die gelingende Unternehmensnachfolge und zukunftsfähige Unternehmenskultur. Heute geht es um das Thema KI-Ethik. Wie bereits schon vorher angekündigt, es ist eine weitere Folge meiner Serie für Frauen, wo es geht um Frauen in Führung und KI speziell. Und mein Gast ist heute Dr. Alison Fischer. Alison ist langjährige Expertin für AI Ethics und verantwortungsvolle KI. Sie ist Co-Founderin von Verdus IA. Alison ist Amerikanerin und deshalb haben wir auch heute auf unserem Podcast-Kanal eine Premiere, denn der heutige Podcast, das Interview, wird in englischer Sprache aufgenommen. Jetzt habe ich die Freude, Alison zu begrüßen. And hi, Alison. A warm welcome on our podcast channel.
Thank you.
It's great that you take your time for our interview today because you are a very busy woman with your company and everything around it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and also grateful that we can do the discussion in English since in spite of quite some years in Germany, my German is still quite bad. So I appreciate it.
So it's my pleasure. So Alison, I'd like to invite you to introduce yourself a little bit and maybe your way to AI, significant steps.
Yeah, of course.
You did.
Yeah. Happy to do so. I think maybe the first thing to know about me is that my kind of pathway to AI is very unconventional. So I am not a technical person by training. I started out as actually a professor, a teacher of English and literature. So I studied critical theory and philosophy and ethic and also literature. And this was what I did for the first 15 years of my career. So I was a professor and then a university dean, and I was leading universities in the US, quite large universities. And then my husband and I decided to make a change and we moved abroad. And we moved first to the UK and then to Germany. And when we moved to Germany, I, like a lot of us, I think, find ourselves kind of mid-career. I needed to do something else. I didn't speak German. I had never been in Germany before. So I couldn't work in a university as I'd done before. So I started consulting. And my first consulting project combined kind of my expertise in teaching and education with a problem that a university was trying to solve around AI. So they had implemented AI and it wasn't working the way they expected. And they wanted my perspective as a teacher on this. And so that led to me really learning a lot about AI in a hands-on way. And then it led to my next full-time employment as somebody building curriculum, building training for AI. Mm-hmm. So really creating company training programs and all of this. And that then led me to meet my co-founder, Dr. Denise van der Meyer, and to set up our company, Verdus AI, here in Germany. Really focusing on responsible AI and AI training and AI ethics.
Mm-hmm. So we come to this during the interview again, yeah. And a little bit deeper though. And you started with consulting with this consulting company in Germany, and this was around 2000.
So I started my own project in 2018. This was my first introduction with AI consulting. And then I joined a company in 2019, building AI trainings. And I built their academy for AI, sort of from nothing all the way to a full academy at scale for companies, big global companies, small local German companies, mm-hmm. And everything in between.
Mm-hmm. So actually, you have this company, Virtus IA, which you founded together with another woman.
Yes.
And maybe you tell us a little bit about your company, mm-hmm. Responsible AI, and your customers. I think you have a wide range of customers. So this would be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, myself and Denise, my co-founder, Denise is German, so we founded together. We realized working together in our previous company that we shared a lot of the same values, and we think the same way about how innovation should happen and how innovation should benefit everyone and not just this very small portion of the very rich in the West. Mm-hmm. And so we realized that we shared these values and these ideas. And so when we founded Virtus, we really focused on responsibility, on helping companies wherever they are, whether they haven't started at all, or they just need support to even start, or if they're quite far along on their journey and they want to make sure that they're protecting their employees, that they're doing all of the things to keep themselves and their employees and their customers safe. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So this is, all the innovative techniques you are talking about.
Exactly. So integrating AI into like things like everybody is hearing about, like ChatGPT or Copilot. How do you integrate these? None of these existed when we founded the company 4 years ago. So we were talking about this really early. And we now work with companies, everything from small. So we supported one small German company that is making like health and vitamin drinks. Mm-hmm. And we supported them to really integrate AI throughout their whole business. And they now have we worked with them on leadership guidance, so helping them with a strategy, with setting up the vision for how they want to integrate AI into their company and how they want that company to look in 2 years, 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you working with AI more and more, or
yeah,
get it implemented in their
Yeah, they already have implemented AI now, and mm-hmm. they are using this on a daily basis where their employees are finding it useful, they're involved with it, and they're able to use it effectively.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to get more and more a picture of your business and your work, I would like to know, why is ethics such an important topic when it comes to AI?
Yeah, for me, it's always two sides. So the one side is compliance, right? This is regulation. This is the EU AI Act. This is data protection. So the one side is that ethics help us do the things we must do to meet the law and the regulations and all of that. So understanding ethics is essential for this. But the other side of this is about what we want, how we want technology to impact us as individuals, us as companies, our employees, and us as a society. And this, I think, is a place where small companies in particular can lead the way. And because our small family-owned companies tend to have a very strong sense of values, a very strong sense of who they are as a company. They have this identity. Mm-hmm. They already have
very different from these big
groups. And I think this is a place where we see small companies making very thoughtful decisions about how to use AI.
Thoughtful decisions.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is super important, because AI has the ability to have huge impacts, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's so important to think about these things and think about, what do we want mm-hmm. to happen? Mm-hmm. What might happen that we don't intend mm-hmm. or we wouldn't want? And how can we you know, get the benefits and try to reduce the risks.
Reduce the risks, right.
Yeah.
So in my words, I would say it has to do in what world do we want to live and to work?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So this is also our business from Wege im Wandel and mm-hmm. Cultural transformations and things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what are the aspects of feminine AI? I learned during the last few months that so many women really work in the AI field. And what inspires the women to work in there? And what is also the benefit, I mean, to work with yeah. women?
Yeah, I mean, of course I'm biased because yeah. I am a woman and I own a woman, you know, a woman-owned business. But
your co-founder too.
Yeah, my co-founder, our businesses, we have one man, but it's mostly women, not on purpose. I think it's again, multiple. So we need as much diversity as we can in all forms of tech. But I think in AI in particular, because AI is shaped by the biases and the perspectives of the people who create it and the people who implement it in ways that other technologies maybe aren't. And this means that we need to have representation of all types of people. And in tech in particular, there are a lot of women out there, more and more, which is great, but we still need more. Mm-hmm. And for me as well, I think in addition to involving more women, I think also we as women have a tendency to only jump into a topic or only join in when we feel 100% qualified, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We tend to wait. We have to check all of the boxes.
Yeah.
And AI is
tending to underestimate their...
Yeah, and I mean, there are studies, right? There are studies on this. There's research on this, that this is a real thing. And AI is so fast, and it changes so frequently. No one is fully qualified. So I always think we need as many different kinds of people as possible, and we need people to jump in before they feel fully ready, because we need voices from lots of different backgrounds, lots of different expertise. We need women who are technical. We need women who are business oriented, who are more people oriented. We need all of these different perspectives mm-hmm. to make sure that AI creates the world that we actually want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I'm interested in when you are talking about that, what excites and inspires you most? What is your passion in this field?
Yeah, I'm always a teacher. So at heart, I think the impact of AI is super exciting. And I want to see AI make really positive changes in the world. And I really believe that to get there, we have to support people along the way. Sometimes that looks like training. Sometimes that looks like coaching or sparring or consulting or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I really think that the ability to support people to get the most out of this technology and make sure that we're all working towards that more positive future where people are the most important thing. Mm-hmm. This is what inspires me. We also have other business where we build products. And I think this is the other side of that, which is we also can create products that have this huge impact on the world. Uh-huh. And do it in a responsible way. And this is something that AI offers that is very unique, that one or two people can create a product that would improve the lives of millions of people really quickly. And this I just find endlessly inspiring about AI.
So we can get deeper and deeper in this topic now. Mm-hmm. And you supported... IEEE, I never heard before about this. This is the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineering.
Yes.
Is this correct?
That is correct.
Could you, and you supported this institute in building an assessment that evaluates the ethics of AI and relevant trainings on that.
Yeah.
So this is a kind of a, or it is a standardization of ethic components or requirements. And how does this work with such a vague topic as ethics?
Yeah, this is always the question. So IEEE, I think it's not so well known in Europe, but it's gaining popularity. This is a very well-known organization in the U.S. with engineers. So it's a standards organization. So they
have 400,000 members.
Yes, they're quite large, and they also create standards that all of us would know, like, or they impact technologies that we would know. So everything from like recording technology to cell phones to, you know, there are standards. So they're like DIN in Germany. They are an organization that creates standards for.
There's a VDE. Wait a minute,
VDE. Yeah, VDE. They would be similar to VDE or DIN. Yeah. So we worked with them. So IEEE created a certified framework. So this is a framework for assessing ethical risks in AI. And I joined that after the framework was already created and helped to design and scale the training program around this. And this is the most common question we always get is like, how do you standardize? So I think that the thing that IEEE has done really amazingly is that they've understood that ethics kind of has multiple layers. And so we do have universal values. There are things that all humans want. All humans want to be treated fairly. All humans want to have a sense of autonomy, some degree of self-agency. Mm-hmm. All humans want safety for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
We have people these universal...
To be protected from the risks of the AI.
Yeah,
so the
yeah.
Being is first.
Exactly. And so all humans have these universal values that we care about. And what the certified framework does is it doesn't say, here is the right way to do AI. Here is the ethical way. It gives instead a process for identifying who are the humans who would be impacted by this AI. So identifying stakeholders, who are the actual humans who this AI would impact, and then determining their values. So every country, every society, every subgroup will have different sort of prioritization of these values, right? Am I willing to sacrifice my privacy for safety? Am I willing to compromise, you know, my transparency around this for public health, right? During COVID, we had a lot of talks in Germany around I'm willing to allow the government to track me in ways that maybe I wouldn't have previously because I'm saying that health, public health, societal health is a higher priority for me.
Okay.
Both are still values, right? Mm-hmm. And so the certified framework allows us to look at the stakeholder and the context and say, okay, what is important for the stakeholders here? And is the company doing everything possible to protect the values of the stakeholders and try to manage the risks to the stakeholders. And so this is, the IEEE framework doesn't say this is the right way to use AI or this is the wrong way to use AI. It instead says, how do we determine how companies can manage their risk in a way that is appropriate to the people that they are impacting?
So this is a framework to define their own values for the implementation of AI or to work with AI? Is this
to define their values as a company and also to understand what their customers, what their employees, what anyone who interacts with the system, what matters to them as well.
What matters to them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of guidelines. These are kind of guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My understanding, is this correct? Yeah, would you say?
Yeah, an assessment framework. So we can, it gives a framework to assess risk and then a set of guidelines for how to address those risks.
So you mentioned a few components, some importance, transparency, protecting individuals.
Mm-hmm.
What else could you mention for basic or,
the basic... The main components of IEEE certified are aligned with global regulation. So we see global regulation on AI is very chaotic and is always changing, but we do see common themes. So we see themes around transparency and explainability. So do I know what the system does and can I understand it? Mm-hmm. Around privacy, is the system respecting my data and my private sphere, around human in the loop or accountability, and also around algorithmic bias, which is the fairness of the system. Is it accurate and fair in its outcomes? Mm-hmm. And IEEE has these four pillars to cover these kinds of main themes that we see globally. So there's transparency, privacy, accountability, and algorithmic bias.
Uh-huh.
And these are then areas that you can assess risk and certify against.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. And to get a picture of your project, how can I imagine how it looks like if you work together with a company? I mean, concretely. Could you make an example, especially for medium-sized or family-owned companies?
Yeah, I can. We had a family-owned company that we worked with here in Bavaria.
Okay.
And this was a company that is still family-owned. I think it's like 150 years old, so a quite old company.
Yeah.
Very strong sense. And they have a lot of like delivery and sales processes associated with their company. And so they reached out after a talk. They heard my colleague give a talk and they reached out and said, we want to start, but we don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
So we started, and this is pretty typical for us. We really start with just a conversation. Like, what is your feeling of what you need? What is the feeling of like, what are you concerned about? And then we had a strategy workshop with their leadership. So to really work with the leadership to set, what is your vision? What do you want to achieve with AI? What's possible?
Mm-hmm. So you work with level C leaders.
C and ownership as well. So in places like a family-owned business where maybe there's a C level that's not family, part of the family, then we do both. And then we set that sort of that goal or that vision for the company together, working with them. And then we go all the way down to the business unit level. So then we go to really the employees doing the work and we work with them to say, here is what AI can do. Let's look at your work and identify what are the parts of your work that are most frustrating. What are the parts of your work that are least rewarding, that could most be automated? So we look with the employees to identify what could be automated and what would help you. And then we worked with them to do what is called a POC or a proof of concept, which is just a very small project with AI to show that it's possible.
Like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's do a test and show and see if it works.
Mm-hmm. So a small step. The first step was a small step.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Super small. Usually, like, you can do this in a couple weeks. So I think we had a 2-week session with them where we coached them through this. And at the end of that, they had several possibilities. They presented this to their management.
Uh-huh.
And then the management decided in the meeting, saying like, okay, we will pick this one and this one and let's do it. Let's roll this out and do a full test.
Okay.
And so then we accompany them with that testing, and we really work with them through the whole life cycle to get it into the company. So we really work with companies to identify. We don't go into a company and say, here's our standard training, here's our standard package. We go into the company and really find out, what do you want? What makes most sense to you? What will be the most useful, the most valuable for you as a company? And then we accompany them along the way. Sometimes that involves trainings. Sometimes that involves developing AI solutions. Sometimes that involves a certificate or an assessment, right? If they really need something to show to the government or to something else. So whatever that company needs, we really shape what it is for them. So we talked to another small family-owned company just yesterday, and they have an AI officer. So they just hired someone.
Okay.
And he's quite overwhelmed. He doesn't know.
Innovative, though.
Right? He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know. And so we said, okay, of course we can give training, but why don't we also just have some sparring sessions with you and one of our experts so that you individually can then go back to your leadership team and say, look at my strategy, right? And feel like this isn't just me sitting by myself. Coming up with ideas, but that I have someone to talk to and I have someone. So it really depends on the company, and we're very individual.
The processes you are describing, they lead me to my next question. AI and its ethical aspects, they have a very strong impact, as I understand what you are describing, on corporate culture. And could you give us an example? For instance, if AI promotes practices and decisions that are contradict current cultural behavior, how can this be clarified or sorted out?
Yeah, this is really challenging right now, especially because it's so easy for anyone to use AI tools. So in the conversation that I had yesterday, for example, one of the concerns that he raised was that employees are using AI, but they're all making their own choices. They're all choosing their own tools. And he said that it's very obvious to him that he will get emails, for example, from employees that have obviously been written by AI, right? So this is not the person writing. It's very clearly generated by AI. AI can be a great tool for writing, for polishing, but if we, for example, have a culture in our company of clarity and communication that, hey, if something's going on, I communicate with you really clearly and I share this.
You get in a meeting and you make your decision.
Okay. Exactly. Or I send an email and the email is very clear. If we suddenly, just by accident, not by people meaning on to do it on purpose, but if we start using AI to draft our emails, this actually fundamentally changes and breaks that culture, right? Because now we have a very sort of generic, non-personal, not human communication that's going to go to another person inside the company. And that person is probably going to respond with AI. And now we have AI just talking to AI. And suddenly we've really broken this culture of, no, we as humans talk to each other.
Yeah.
So we talked about this yesterday. And I said, for example, I hadn't thought and reflected on how I do this. I'm also older than I'm sure a lot of his employees, but I never use AI to draft an internal email, and it never would have occurred to me to make a policy about this, but now I will in my company. I will say, we do not write to each other with AI.
So the question is, who is leading? Where is the governance?
Yeah.
The AI?
Always people. People are always accountable.
Yeah.
It has to be, right? And so I told him, you know, I'm not – a fan of like really harsh governance. I think you need human governance. But I would actually draw a line and say, we do not internally, we do not write to each other this way.
From ethical perspectives.
From an ethical perspective. And I would tie it to our values as a company. So in my company, in Veritas, for example, we talk a lot about transparency and communication, that we are clear with each other, we're honest and we're direct. And we work cross-culturally. So we have myself, I'm American, we have Germans, we have Malaysians. So we have a lot of different communication styles. And this is a value in our company that we all work towards. So I will say, like, we will not use this internally. And externally, we will use it very mindfully to say, you use it to polish. You use it to maybe to condense or maybe to fix grammar or something like this. But we do not send out clearly AI-generated text. Because this also breaks the trust in our clients in us.
Yeah, but this sounds like a transformation journey anyhow.
It definitely is.
From our side, from our business, consulting and coaching processes like this. And this is very familiar to us. And my question is also, to which companies applies AI ethics? Is this for special products, for techniques or services companies are offering, or what would you say?
I would say it applies to everyone because, as I said, these tools are so available that if we believe that our employees aren't using AI, if we believe that, then we are wrong. And so I started teaching when the internet was relatively new. And I remember telling students that they weren't allowed to use internet research or Wikipedia. And obviously that was a losing battle. This was a battle that was impossible to win. And I would never tell a student that now. And AI is the same. If we tell people not to use AI, they will just use AI in a way that we're not aware of. And so instead, we have to give people really clear understanding of the risks, clear understandings of the benefits, and clear guidelines that are reasonable and clear and understandable to people. Because if it's unclear or if it's unrealistic, people will get around it, right? They will work around any system. And so I think this applies to everyone. Not everyone needs a chief ethics officer.
Yeah, this is also a question I have in my mind. Do we need all the companies now a chief AI ethics officer or another responsible person for ethics, maybe in people and culture department? This is kind of a fantasy I have, or idea.
I think absolutely every company needs someone responsible. I think the degree to which the company works with AI determines whether they need a special person, like a completely dedicated person. I think for most companies who are just using AI in their processes, this can be involved in whoever else in the company is setting up guidelines and policies. So people in culture, HR, legal, this can be in a lot of different areas. I think the more important thing is that everyone in the company is informed and is aware of the company's perspective on this and why it exists. So this is the most important. If companies are creating AI products, particularly high-risk AI products, they probably need an AI ethics officer of some sort. But for most companies, they need their employees to understand what could go wrong. You know, what is the risk to the company, to you, to our clients, and how do we avoid those risks practically? And that can be in training, that can be in guidelines, in frameworks. And then there's a person that people can go to who has answers to questions.
Mm-hmm. You were offering different trainings on that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We offer awareness trainings and also specific business unit trainings. So just so that people can understand, I see what could go wrong. I understand why I can't just use ChatGPT for everything, for example. Mm-hmm.
So this is also a question of responsibility always. Yeah. Use AI, but responsible AI.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think these are things companies need to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really
important. Yeah. The risks. Yeah. Being aware of the risks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As well as the benefits.
Yeah, I think that's the absolute starting point. And if you constantly have that, like, let's think about the benefits and the risks together. Mm-hmm. I think this is an excellent starting point. Just thinking about, like, what could go wrong and what am I hoping will go right? And then how do we balance those out? Like, is it worth the risk? Is it not worth the risk? Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. I have my last question for today. What are you recommending for family-led or family-owned companies, actually?
Yeah, I recommend to especially family-led, family-owned companies to start. I think sometimes there's this sense of, you know, we have to be a certain type of company or we have to have a certain type of people in order to get started with AI. And with the changes we've seen in the last months, the barrier to entry, the difficulty of entry is very, very low. So I would say to any company, most likely you have a head start because you have a very strong company culture. You have a strong set of company values. And this is going to be a great foundation to get started with AI in a way that will help you, will help your employees, will help your customers. So I would say get started, you know, take a training, you know, take a look at what's available, what's possible, and then just don't be afraid to start. Of course, we're always happy to help as well, but there are lots of resources out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Allison. These are very big topics, I think. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for your insights, and for your information all about that so far. And and I will now switch over to German again.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for your time and for having me.
Yeah,
and thanks to your audience for being patient with English.
Yeah, my pleasure, Allison. And so I say bye-bye for today. I just switch over to German now, like I said. Ja, und ich bedanke mich jetzt für alle Zuhörerinnen und bei allen Zuhörern freue mich schon auf die nächsten Folgen von unserer Podcast-Serie bei Familienunternehmen im Wandel. Wir werden uns auch weiter mit den Themen KI beschäftigen, zum Beispiel, was macht mittelständische Unternehmen und familiengeführte Unternehmen KI-fähig sozusagen. Da werden wir noch weiter uns damit beschäftigen in den nächsten Folgen und auch noch mehr darüber. Informationen wie immer auf www.wegeimwandel.com und auch hier bei Werders.ia oder auch bei LinkedIn. Herzlichen Dank und bis zum nächsten Mal.